Good afternoon. You're listening to Six Pillars to Persia on Resonance 104.4 FM. We're live this morning and I have a guest here, Ampex. It's the first show of 2008. We won't discuss 2007 anymore. It's now 2008. But of course, we're interested in a history that spans way before the first year of this calendar. Ampex is also known as Laconic.
I'm not known as Ampex at all, but somehow that seems to have come along from my video that I made called Ampex. But Laconic would be the other alias.
It is a brilliant video. Really enjoyed it. It was very creative, and you can see that on YouTube, actually. Ampex, is it still alive?
Ampex Still Alive is the name of the video. But the YouTube site is youtube.com/... Funk of Shaolin, which is FUNKOFSHAOLIN. If you want to check it out, there's other stuff on there too.
The more I've looked into you, Amir, the more names you seem to have accumulated over the year. Are you sticking with Laconic?
I think I'm sticking with Laconic, yeah.
That's very good. We're glad. But you also have the TV Bomb Squad?
TV Bomb, yeah. I'm actually not a part of that anymore, but we set up a TV channel. Well, it's online on the platform Juiced. It's basically a short film and music video channel called TV Bomb. We set that up just sort of because we wanted to, and I thought it'd be good to have an outlet for short films and music videos, because there's not really anywhere you can go to find, music videos, yeah, but short films, there's not much out there. So, we set that up because we're into films and stuff, and you can check it out online at juiced.com.
Juiced is what kind of site?
Juiced is a platform. It's a piece of software you can download from the site, and it basically turns your computer into a full screen television program. And it's got like 100 channels on there at the moment, and it's expanding, and it's got quite a lot of views. And it was set up by the same people that did Kazaa and Skype, so it's quite good.
How do you make your money with TV Bomb's?
TV Bomb is paid for by advertising. So there's every clip you watch, there is a little advert that comes at the end of it, and it's, you know, like a pay-per-click thing. But I mean, we didn't do it to make money, really, because it's not that huge a thing. It was more a personal project of ours.
Now, you're very creative. We were just listening to a track of yours. Was it Landmines of the East?
That was actually Dark Fly.
Oh, yeah. Dark Fly. Yeah. Oh, no, you wanted me to play Landmines of the East, didn't you? But I do like that one.
Thanks.
Especially the end. What was the inspiration for that one?
That one actually came about, we were given a vocal, this was actually a college project, this was years ago. We were given a vocal piece, which was actually a normal, you know, sung, quite poppy vocal, and I was asked to make a track out of it, but in an obscure way. So a lot of those sounds you hear are actually taken from vocals, but, just cut up and processed and just done different things to it to make it sound completely different.
Was that in the remit then, the word obscure?
Sorry?
Was that in your remit when they made their request to you and said, we would like something obscure?
No, they didn't say obscure. They said do something different with it.
Yeah.
We were supposed to make a pop version and a non-pop version. And then, so when I made the non-pop version, I thought I'd make it as obscure as possible. So, yeah.
And where are you hoping to go with your TV editing and your music?
Ideally, I'd like to get into film and, start making short films. And I'm working on a project at the moment with some footage that I shot in Shiraz this summer. So I'd like to, work on that and give people a more realistic perception of what Shiraz is like, rather than the general view that people have from the media. And,
I don't think most people know that Shiraz is anything but a wine. To be honest,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good
point. But it's a place in Iran. My mother was born there. You're from there.
Yep.
Describe it for us.
It's a beautiful city. I mean, it's one of my favorite places in Iran. Partly because I'm from there, but because the culture is really nice, and there's a lot of life in the youths in Iran and stuff, and it's a really interesting place. And there's a lot of beautiful historical things about it, like Persepolis, for instance.
Persepolis,
yeah.
Persepolis is the poppy version.
Yeah, well, we call it Takht-e Jamshid in Iranian, but, there's the...
How is your Iranian?
It's not bad. I can speak fairly fluently, yeah.
And what was your family life very Iranian, or was it 50-50?
50-50. I mean, I've grown up here most of my life, so I'm used to a quite British way of life. But I have been back and forth to Iran since I came here, so I do have quite a strong cultural background of from Iran.
Has that until this new project with your film in Shiraz, has that ever come out?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I say, I try to go back as much as I can. I can only go once a year anyway, because if I go any more than that, I have to go to the army in Iran. So
it's also £800 a flight, isn't it?
Well, about 500, yeah.
Oh, so it's like India now. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So have you got any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got one brother, older brother, and a younger sister.
Does she get treated differently, or is it?
No, we're all pretty much the same. I mean, I think my sister, the youngest one of us, is sort of a lot less immersed in the Iranian culture than me and my brother. I'm probably one who's, you know, more enthusiastic about, you know, the culture of Iran and having connections still, even though I'm living here. Yeah, since my sister's the youngest one, and she was actually born here, I was born in Shiraz. And she's, you know, she can speak it a little bit, and but not as good as me, and she just doesn't, you know, live here most of her life, and that hasn't got as much stronger connection as I have with Iran.
I see. So what would be your favourite, like, what would you sort of promote about Iranian culture the most?
What would I promote?
What is it that makes you enthusiastic about it? Apart from the bias, of course.
Yeah, well, I think one thing, definitely the culture is, you know, what's quite amazing about it. I think, you know, I guess I'm a bit biased, but I think it's one of the most beautiful cultures in the world. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot to it. There's a lot of tradition, and there's a lot of history, and it's all very, very interesting. And, you know, it's one of those places that people don't know anything about until you actually go and visit and, you know, spend some time perhaps with some Iranian people and get to know them and see what they're like and, you know.
Learn to dance,
yeah. And, you know, like, cliches about Iranian hospitality and stuff are very true, and, you know, everyone's very friendly and nice, and, you know, it's a very part of the culture to sort of be polite and be respectful, and that's partly why I really like it there, because it is like that, and it's fun.
That seems to have eroded over here.
It has a little bit, yeah. I mean, but there's not much we can do about that, I suppose.
When did your parents come over then?
They came over, I believe, just after the Iranian Revolution.
Did they ever talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, now and then, yeah, pops up. I mean, you know, that I think that was part of the reason why they came over in the first place. You know, my dad came over here to study. And then, you know, we were never planning on staying here, but then things got the way they did in Iran, and my parents decided that actually we were better off staying here than going back to Iran. So, yeah, we just stayed here, and I think I probably would have been a completely different person if I grew up in Iran.
Definitely, I'd probably have been dead.
Maybe so.
So, do you ever watch Iranian films? What's your favourite? Have you got a favourite comedian from Iran?
Favorite comedian, Iranian, or does he have to be
from Iran?
There's obviously Omid Jalili is quite funny.
Yeah, quite funny.
But there's another one actually called Maz Jobrani. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Oh yeah, he's been on the show.
American comedian, and he's
sat in your seat actually.
Oh really?
Yeah, sideways.
He's a very funny guy. I like him. I've seen his shows. So
he's very apt actually. What he talks about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, on the show, he did give me a lot of anecdotes that I'd already read on the web.
Really? Yeah. Well, that's the trouble with comedians. They always have a show planned out, and it's always going to be the same. But, you know,
that's true.
I mean, it's not easy work, so you've got to give them respect for it.
So tell us, how does it make you feel when you read about how Iranians are portrayed in the media and how what the concerns are and our relationship with them? How does that make you feel? Is it frustrated?
Yeah, I guess it is kind of frustrating. Mostly because a lot of what we do hear about is usually negative, and it's never about, you know, something good that happens in Iran or, you know, something interesting.
It's true, but I do remember some good press. I think it was in the 90s. Drugs. There was the minister here who was responsible for wondering about drug trafficking.
Yeah.
I don't know what the title is, but she'd gone over there and they had found a lot of it and burnt it, and they were showing pictures of the burning drugs. I'm sure that was a token, because there's a higher percentage of drug addicts per capita than any other country in Iran.
I mean the thing is, Iran has its problems, but, you know, so does every country. It's not you know, they don't go about portraying all the bad stuff about England and America in Iran. In fact, most of the stuff that I, when I'm in Iran spending time there, there's a lot of positive stuff about England and America, even though people might think that, you know, Iranians hate Americans or something like that, but which is, you know, not necessarily true at all.
Really? But, well, they wouldn't explain the sort of 8-foot graffiti showing the Statue of Liberty as a
death yeah,
skull?
I mean, well, you know, I get there is obviously some reason why that those ideas come about, but for instance, my cousins and stuff in Iran, they love American music, you know. Mm. A lot of them are always saying, oh, I really want to go to America and visit. And I think it's when you start to think about religion and politics, it gets a bit, you know, serious. But if you think about the culture, Iranian culture, and, you know, and the culture in America as well, I think there's a lot of things that people want to learn from each other.
Mm.
And it's
and we've got to remember there's a difference between the government's opinion and the opinion
exactly,
of the people,
yeah,
which you've been exposed
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
Well, that would then say that the media has only got a relationship with the government of Iran
yeah.
and no relationship with the people.
Yeah, well, I think that to an extent that's very true. Because, like you say, the people's perception is completely different to the government's. So
I think through art, though, a lot of it's coming out. It seems to be booming a lot with Iranian filmmaking.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you ever watch any?
I do, yeah. I have a couple of favourites. I mean, obviously, Abbas Kiarostami is a very big filmmaker, and his films are really good. I love his films. Also, Majid Majidi. I don't know if you've heard of him. He did a film a while ago called Children of Heaven, which was actually nominated for an Oscar, which is also one of my favourite films, and it's a really nice film. About a couple of kids going to school in Iran, but it's the beautiful thing about Iranian film making is that I think partly because of the restrictions the government gives them and stuff, it makes their creativity a lot better in a way, because they, you know, they have restrictions and they don't. It's completely the opposite to Hollywood cinema, and it's, you know, they take the simplest and, you know, most simple stories and turn them into something really beautiful, which is what I like about it, because it's, you know, so simple but works so well.
It's true. And I wonder what would denote a success in Iran. Obviously, you know, viewing figures, for example. Marmalak, do you know that film?
Yeah,
broke the box office in Iran even before, and it was then taken off in a week.
Yeah, and then it got banned.
Yeah, so that was probably the you know, the contentious issues that it dealt with. But other genres of film, I wonder what would make it popular in Iran.
I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen a lot of different styles of genres in Iran, and I mean, whilst I was there, I saw trailers for a film called Boss, which seemed like a really Americanized sort of gangster film.
Well, that's what they do in India. They remake American plots with Indian. Well, they don't really call it that. You know, you can just tell which film it's been taken off from.
Yeah.
Well, maybe next time you go, we can ask you to do a little survey for us of what people find best in the cinema.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. Well, also, at the same time, I think a lot of what we see here is different to what people like in Iran, because, you know, their commercial cinema is different to what stuff becomes more known here, because the stuff that becomes more known, like Kiarostami's stuff and Majid Majidi's, is more sort of art house cinema, which is, you know, art house is not commercial here either, so it's the sort of thing that's different from our perception to the people in Iran. So I think it's definitely one that you'd have to ask the people there what they like.
And of your films, which film would you like most to show in Iran if there was a Tehran gallery looking for a film? Or a Shiraz gallery?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I think I'd have to make one specifically for them.
Poker was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very Iranian as well. They were all Middle Eastern men.
Yeah.
It's very tense. Did you notice that?
Yeah, a little bit. It was actually me and my brother and a couple of friends. It was never intended that we were all of like Middle Eastern descent or anything, but that's just the way it was. But maybe that
the soundtrack was all mostly made up of poker noises, wasn't
it? Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was a concept behind the film, is that I took the sounds, you know, that would go on in a poker set, in a poker game, chips clicking, cards shuffling, Zippo lighters, stuff like that, and cut it all together and created this.
The Zippo sound was brilliant. the clicking and the flame coming out, that was brilliant. What kind of recording equipment were you using?
I used a 414 mic for that, and just ran it through Pro Tools and recorded straight.
You recorded straight into the computer?
Yeah.
No mixer?
No mixer,
wow.
No. I don't think you really need a mixer in this day and age anymore.
Okay.
But, well, Certainly,
I think Chris,
certainly
the
not
station
poor.
Manager, might disagree. But
yeah, possibly.
But you proved it with your film. It was very good. And after this, we're going to hear your kitchen piece. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, that's actually the same sort of concept as the poker one, where I took sounds this time in a kitchen environment. So I recorded sounds from, you know, like the hob, the oven closing.
Plug.
Sorry?
The plug.
The plug, yeah, you know, whatever I could think of. I just went in the kitchen and thought, what can I record this sound? Can I record that sound? And at the same time as recording the sounds, I also shot the video to it. So I took clips of, you know, the gas and the hob and the oven, and then edited it all together into a little video sort of art piece that shows what you hear basically in a musical rhythmic pattern.
That's great. I showed it to some kids on a youth radio station where I work. They loved it.
Cool. Yeah. Great.
But it was a very masculine interpretation of the kitchen. If you were to ask your mother what are the predominant sounds of a kitchen for you, what she would come up with would be completely different.
Perhaps.
And the kitchen was immaculately clean. It was really
masculine. Well, it had to be.
Well,
I actually cleaned
kitchen.
It before I filmed, so, you know, that.
Actually, I thought at one point there might have been a rented kitchen.
Oh, no.
Or show kitchen.
That would have been interesting. That would have been easier, actually. Before I shot it, I thought maybe if I do this in MFI or something, it'd be so much easier because there's so much more space around you and you can film from different angles and from further away. But you know, we did it at home and it was fine.
Well, it is everlasting proof that Iranian men do go into the kitchen.
Yep, indeed.
Do you cook?
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, a little bit. I really want to learn to cook Iranian food. At the moment, I just, you know, cook most normal dishes like pasta and stuff, but my mum will have to teach me one day because she's an amazing cook. So,
well, tell us when we're invited.
Okay, definitely.
Okay, so how would people find more of your films or more of your work?
Like I said, there's the YouTube site, I think / Funk of Shaolin, like I said earlier, you can look at that. At the moment, I'm trying to get together my own website where all my work will be shown, but at the moment it's not up yet, so perhaps I'll give you the address for that once it's actually ready.
And we look forward to it. Any live performances, anything like that?
Live performances. I'm getting together some music at the moment with a friend of mine under the name Laconic and Verbose, and we should be hopefully going live within the next month or two. We're just working on it's basically an acoustic project with electronic laptops and stuff going on in the background. So hopefully go live with that in a couple of months, and maybe you'll come and see us sometime.
Yeah, maybe you'd be very suited to VJing where the sound and the film totally correspond.
Yeah, I mean, that's another idea we've had. We thought if we can get venues where we can have projections on in the background, then why not, you know, add an extra feature.
There's one a few doors up.
Excellent. Well, maybe I'll go pay them a visit.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Amir Hashmati, for coming in today.
No problem.
Is there anything you'd like to leave us with? Thought, wisdom, something for the day?
Nothing more than the usual Iranian saying of peace and happiness.
Is that an Iranian saying?
No.
Oh, well, we just made it one.
Yep, indeed.
Okay, thank you. That was Six Pillars to Persia with Farry Bradley, your host. I must give a shout out to my friend Amanda Moss, painter, who is listening at the moment, ill at home. I hope you all had a great Christmas and will enjoy 2008 on Resonance.
Thank you.